Once you get to Exodus chapter 13, look up and we'll get started. Think of the ministries that some of the men in the Bible had. I have started reading Jeremiah this morning. And Jeremiah, we call him the weeping prophet, and won't get into all that right now. But it was a sad ministry that he led because the people wouldn't listen to him. But think about Moses. Now think about Moses in his ministry. God led the people out of Egypt. We saw that in recent days and on Sunday evenings. He led the people out of Egypt. We are right there at the place where big things hadn't happened already. The death of the firstborn was a huge thing, but they're going to be delivered from Pharaoh's armies and they're going to be out in the wilderness. And it was about 7 to 10 days journey from where they crossed the Red Sea up to the Promised Land. They could have gotten there in a couple of weeks. It took them 40 years. Moses believed God, didn't he? Amen? He believed God, and when God said, "You can take that Promised Land," Moses believed God. Caleb and Joshua and some others believed God, but the people didn't believe God. And because the people didn't believe God, rather than seeing what God could have done for those people, Moses, his ministry was travel with them in the wilderness until they all die, which is exactly what happened. And then hand leadership off to the man that will take him into the Promised Land. Now, that's what God called Moses to do, and Moses did a good job of that. And I don't make light of what he accomplished in the wilderness. They built the tabernacle, and we'll go through more and more of this in the book of Exodus. We'll probably stop right around chapter 20, because the last half describes the tabernacle, and that's more Sunday school material than it is preaching material. But anyway, Would you rather wander in the wilderness, or would you rather take the land? What do you think? I just don't like wasting time. I lived in Phoenix in the summer of 1986, and at that time I was 29 years old, and I was very zealous in my profession. I was worked with computers, and this was, you got to remember, the IBM PC came out in 81, so this is back when computers were not even a fraction of sophisticated like they are now. But back in the 80s, I came to Phoenix in 86 and went to work for a company. I remember that my wife and I lived in an apartment on the corner of 15th and Glendale. And it's not quite as safe as it was back then now. And I worked in a place that was at 19th and I can't remember the other street, but not too far from our apartment. And I got there. I moved to Phoenix on Memorial Day weekend with my wife, and we lived here until October. What a bad choice of time of year to live here. And then to make matters worse, we left here and went to Salt Lake City and moved there at the end of October. We're there all winter. So that was the hottest summer and the coldest winter of my life. And but when I came here, I went to work for this company. And I knew exactly what needed to be done to put together a product for a certain industry. And I was ready to go, and I was excited about it. And I got there, and they didn't want to do it that way. They really just wanted to kind of take it easy. They didn't want to work hard. They didn't want to invest. And I hadn't even been there a month. And my wife and I both agreed, this is not going to work. And I began to look elsewhere. And I went to Salt Lake City in that October, and God gets credit for everything, but the man that I went to work for is now a millionaire. And the things that we did, he sold massive numbers of them and made a whole lot of money, and he's a millionaire, and so are his children, by the way, his son, because of a lot of the work that we did. But my point is, it is possible for God to use us if we'll let him. It would have been possible for Moses and the people to take the Promised Land. Amen? But they had to believe. And believing meant exposing themselves to some hardship. They had to fight the fight. They had to be willing to go out and do what was necessary to take the promised land. It's not going to take itself. It's not going to just roll over and play dead. If we're going to see God work, then we're going to have to work. Amen? We agree? And we're going to have to believe God. And it's an ongoing process where we see the things that aren't going well. We see the changes that need to be made. We see the problems that need to be dealt with. We see the people's lives where God's will's not being accomplished. And we take those cares to the Lord and lift those up. And he gives us another step and another step and another step. And the promised land can be taken. That was not the ministry that Moses had. And it wasn't Moses' fault. And I would say this, whatever God gives you a ministry, whether you're working with people that have got tremendous faith or whether you're working with people that don't have any faith at all, if God gave you that ministry, stay there. Amen? But folks, please don't let me live the life of Moses. Let's have some faith and let's do some work and let's take some land. Amen? It can be done. I want to show you tonight about the leading of the Lord. And we're going to look at these verses. There is verses 13 through 17 here in chapter 13. And I got that right. It's verses 17 through 22. I got to have my glasses on before my brain kicks in. Verses 17 through 22 in Exodus chapter 13. You can see there in Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17, it says, "It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them." Right? Says there in verse 18, God led. Says down there in verse 21 at the end of the verse, to lead them. And these verses are very clear evidences of the leading of God in these people's lives. Even though they did not have the faith they should have, even though they tempted God, even though they doubted God, even though they murmured and complained, God still led them. And folks, God is our shepherd. What does Psalm 23 say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. Amen? So I want to show you some things about the leading of God tonight. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. And we'll begin in verse 17, read down through verse 22, and have a word of prayer. The Bible says, "It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them. Not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Let's pray. Lord, we stand before you tonight as Vision Baptist Church, and I just come before you tonight and ask you to speak to our hearts through the Word of God. Lord, give me wisdom not to say too little or too much, but to say just what you want said. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts that believe. Lord, give us the desire to please the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust him and to believe his word and to see your leadership clearly and then to follow it even when it takes us places that we might not otherwise go. Lord, I pray for folks that aren't with us tonight, you'd care for them, bring them back safely. I do pray that as we conclude the evening that we would know that we've heard the word of the Lord, and that it would be not just heard, but that it would be accepted and believed. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I hope you all would agree with me that the Lord wants to lead us. Amen. And there's no doubt about that. He wants to lead us as individuals, and he wants to lead us as a church. probably, if I was to ask you to give testimonies, many of you could tell me stories of times in your life when you had to decide to go to the left or to the right, and you went to the Lord and God gave you direction. And I've told you some of those stories in the course of other messages, times that if you make a big change in your life, make sure you find God's will. Let me go ahead and just say what the Lord lays on my heart, and that is, when you decide to get married, one of the two greatest decisions you make in life are receiving Christ as your Savior and who you marry. Make sure you got God's will. Make sure that God wants you to marry that person. When you decide upon a place to live, a path for your life, a school to go to, a job to accept, a house to move into, whatever it is, major decisions in your life, folks, God wants to lead you. He's not hiding from you. He wants to lead you. And I wish I could go into all the nuances of that. I can tell you sometimes God opens and closes doors. Sometimes God just makes it very clear to us exactly what He wants in the Bible. I will tell you this, God will never lead you contrary to His word. Someone says, Pastor, I've been praying for a job, and God gave me a job, working in a liquor store. No, God didn't give you that job. That's not where God wants you to work. You need to find God's will and understand He'll never go against His word. He'll open and close doors. The devil can open and close some doors too, by the way. He'll make things open and obvious to you. The devil can do that sometimes. You've got to look for the leading of God. In the lives of the people of Israel, they have just been delivered from Egypt. There certainly is an allegory, or I should say a metaphor here of being saved. Just as the Bible later paints a metaphor of them going through the Red Sea is a picture of baptism. So they in a sense could be reflective of a newly saved Christian. And folks, when you just got saved, God wants to lead you. But when you've been saved for 50 years, God wants to lead you. And by then, you ought to be a whole lot better at finding the leading of God. Look at what these people go through here. Let me just read you a couple of verses before we get back into Exodus. You haven't got to turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 9, God took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews. At Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, Jesus said, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, "If any man follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." And there's so many times when the Bible talks about being led. It's kind of like this morning's message. It's just one of those central themes in the Bible. Just as God wants us to believe Him, God wants to lead us. And He will lead us if we will follow. If we do not follow Him, let me ask you this. What are you going to follow? I could ask this question right now, and don't raise your hand, don't answer out loud, but are you deliberately, maybe I could even say carefully or purposefully, are you purposefully following God right now? And if you can't say yes, then my question would be, what are you following? make sure you're following God, because the devil is subtle. And he'd like to get you to follow him instead. And he's got some things to entice you and get you to follow him. I can assure you that if you follow God, you won't get yourself in trouble the way the devil can get you in trouble. He's our shepherd. We're his sheep. If we don't follow him, we're in great danger. That's the crux of Psalm 23. The provision, the protection, the things that God does for us when we lead him, when he leads us. I don't think I have to sell you on that. I think you understand God led them. God wants to lead them. So let me show you some things about the leading of God that apply to you and I here in this chapter. And the first one would be this. The leading of God is considerate. Now, what do I mean? Folks, God knows where to take us, what we can endure, what He wants to do with us, and He does not lead us in a way that doesn't consider who we are, but He knows who we are. He knows where we need to be. He knows our gifts. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what we can handle. And He considers those things as He leads us. I used to be in the Army, and I was a lieutenant, and I had a platoon, and it was an infantry platoon. We were mechanized. We had vehicles, and we didn't have to walk wherever we went. We get to ride, and I had to get to know the men that were in my platoon, and I knew that some of them could do certain things and some couldn't. And I would have been a fool to ask one of those men that couldn't do something, that couldn't handle the task. Maybe he wasn't diligent enough, or maybe he wasn't trained well enough. I wouldn't give him a task that he couldn't do. I wouldn't put him in a situation that he was going to fail. And God knows how to lead you and I. Now, let me show you the example here in Exodus chapter 13. Look at verse 17. It says, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, though that was near. For God said, lest, peradventure, we might say by chance, the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Have you ever wondered why God's taking you where you're going, or why God's taking that route? It just seems like something else would be easier sometimes, doesn't it? If I had a map up here, I could show you that the place where they crossed the Red Sea, they were going to cross the Sinai Peninsula right there. And if they had gone straight across, staying along the coast, that was the easy road. It was the well-traveled road. The only trouble is that was the road where the enemy was, the Philistines. And the Philistines have always been a thorn in Israel's side. They still are today. They're just called the Palestinians now. And God said, they need to take the long route, because if they go the easy way, it's going to turn out to not to be so easy after all. God considers where he leads you and I. You say, why has God brought me to this place? I don't know, but God knows. Amen? Say, it just seems like it would have been better if God had put me somewhere else. Well, I guess it's a good thing God's in charge instead of you and I. Amen? Because God knows. And don't ever question God's leadership. He really knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what he can do with us, and he knows what would cause us to be overwhelmed. And he considers that when he leads us. And God said, I'm going to take these people. Now, where did they go? They didn't go on the smooth, wouldn't you like to travel along the coast of the sea and have the nice breeze and the view and plenty of places to stop and rest and plenty of water and all the things that would go along with that. And God says, no, what you need to do is you need to go down through the Sinai Peninsula in the desert where it's hot like Phoenix and there's no water and there's rough roads if there's a road at all and there's no food and there seems like there's no place to stop and rest. And the people, when they get down there, you will get there, but they... Moses, you brought us here to die. There's nothing to eat, nothing to drink and all that. And there's a wonderful passage where the Bible asks the question, can God, you know, provide in the wilderness? And God can provide in the wilderness. Amen. So why are you where you are? Why has God brought you this way? Pastor, it seems like there would have been an easier way. Well, if God put you here, this must be the place he wants you to be. And he's got a reason for that. Why did God let you go through that trial? God's got a reason for that. God considers us. God knows our frame. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. And praise God, we can trust him. I can learn this with you, and that is, let's just not question why God's done what he's done and just realize God knows best. And instead of doubting why or wondering, wow, I wish God would have sent me down the seacoast. That would have been so much nicer. And dwelling on that so much. Instead of that, why don't you thank God for where you are, ask him to give you the strength and the grace and the provision to go that way. And I can just tell you, when we step into eternity and we look back, see, you're hearing this later on. God's telling us now after the journey's over, you're going to find out God took you right where you needed to go. He's very considerate. Don't doubt the way God brought you. He had a reason for that. There's a second thing. I'm really, really excited about this. As you go down through verse 18, it really goes along with verse 17. Not a lot more I want to show you there. But in verse 19, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Now, you remember back in Genesis, when Joseph was about to step into eternity, he made them swear, when you leave Egypt, take my bones with you. I should have studied this. I didn't even think about it till just now. But one of the most holy sites to the Jews is the burial place of some of the fathers. And they've actually, there's a building on top of a building on top of a building. And somewhere down in the bottom of all of that, the bones of Joseph are buried there in a place in Israel. And, of course, the Arabs have been fighting with them over it and that kind of thing. But they took Joseph's bones out. Over 400 years earlier, Joseph said this, God's going to deliver you. Somebody says, well, it's been 100 years and God hasn't done anything. Maybe God forgot. Maybe Joseph was mistaken. Maybe God doesn't care. All the silly things we say to ourselves. 200 years goes by. 300 years goes by. Where's God? Why hadn't God delivered us yet? This is difficult. You know, people are living and dying and God still hasn't delivered. Where's the Lord? 400, and I think the number is 30 years later, God did just what he said he was going to do. And here's the thought. The leading of God is conclusive. And when I use that word for the sake of alliteration, but what I mean is this. When God said it, it's going to happen. So often, just like this morning, we're looking. I'm waiting to see what God does. I'm waiting to see God bless. I'm waiting to see God do what he promised to do. And I don't see it yet. I don't see it yet. So maybe it's not going to happen, or maybe I misunderstood. I still remember walking into the pastor's office one time in Salt Lake City about 30 years ago and saying, I don't think the Bible means what I thought it meant. He says, what do you mean? I said, well, God promised to do some things, and I've done just what God told me to do, and he hasn't done them yet. Maybe I misunderstood. And he said the same thing to me that I would say to you. Maybe God's not finished yet. Later on, God is going to do just what he said he was going to do. He just doesn't necessarily do it when we think he will. But Joseph said this, I know God's going to do this. He promised it. God keeps his promises. Folks, just hang in there. Wouldn't you hate to leave or quit or stop or give up or fail just before God did what he said he was going to do? In due season, you will reap if you faint not. Fact. The Bible says that if we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. The Bible says in Psalms, we will doubtless come again if we meet those conditions. In your life, you have that choice. You can believe God, and then you can do just what God said, and I guarantee you God's going to keep his part of the bargain. Or you can say, well, I've been waiting a long time. God hadn't done it yet. Maybe I'll try something else. Folks, I'm sad to say that there are Christians that have missed on the blessings, missed out greatly on the blessings of God because they gave up just a little too soon. And if you've made that mistake in the past, please don't make it again. Amen? Because the leadership of God is conclusive. He's going to do what he said he was going to do. God, Joseph said, God will surely visit you. And guess what? He did. Find a promise in the Bible that God has made to you and hang on to that thing. God keeps his promises. Say, I can't see it. That's this morning's message. Don't worry what you can see. We walk by faith, not by sight. Look at the third thing here that's kind of fascinating. I like this a lot in verse 20 and 21. They took their journey from Succoth and they encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. Sometimes I feel like here in Phoenix, we're in the middle of the wilderness. Amen. And you look around and it's just dry and so on. And think about this. They just came out of Egypt. Egypt is a fertile land. It's got the Nile River. It's got, of course, riches and all those things. And they've come out of Egypt and they're looking forward and all they can see is wilderness. You think God can be trusted along about then? Yeah. You ever look up in your life and what you see is wilderness? Well, guess what, folks? Right past that wilderness, there's a promised land. And by the way, as you go through the wilderness, God can provide for you, can't he? He can feed you. He can give you water. He can give you shelter. He can give you protection. In fact, he took them to the wilderness in order to protect them, to keep them away from the Philistines. You may look up and just see wilderness. That's okay. God can see past the horizon. Amen? Just follow him. So here's the leading of God, and I wanted to show you this in this next verse. It says in verse 21, the Lord, and here again, this is good. The Lord went before them. The Lord went before them. Can you think with me for a minute in Hebrews? The Bible says that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Listen to me. The Lord Jesus Christ is not sending you anywhere he hasn't already gone. In fact, he's gone places you can never go. He suffered things you can never suffer. He's experienced rejection you can never experience. You say, Pastor, I'm so tired of people rejecting me or laughing at my Christianity or not listening when I witness to them. Compared to the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I have seen nothing. He healed the blind and the sick and raised the dead, and they still crucified him. Rejection. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was despised and rejected of men. He leads from the front, is what I'm trying to say. He knows the feeling of your infirmities. When you're sad, he understands that. When you're weak, he understands that. He led them, and it's not a mistake there, when it says in verse 20, he went before them. Now this is what I wanted to get to in verse 21. He went before them in verse 21, by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire. Two things I see there. First of all, the leading of God was rather clear, wasn't it? I mean, if you're out in the desert and there's a pillar of fire out there, you can kind of see that thing, can't you? And if you're out there and in the daytime there's a cloudy pillar, and I'm not talking about these little dust storms we get, this is obvious. That's where the Lord wants you to go. Now, here's a thought. Sometimes what we do is we read the Bible and we see something in the Bible and it seems too hard, or it seems, too inconvenient or too difficult in the sense of we may have to sacrifice in order to do that. Or it may seem to be something that is undesirable for us. And for example, the Lord says, take up your cross and follow me. A cross is not a pleasant thing. And we look at those things in the Bible and we say, I can't do that. And what we're doing is we're rejecting the plain leadership of God. But folks, would you agree with me? The Bible is rather clear. Amen? I'm not saying I understand every word and every phrase, but I'm telling you this. The things the Bible says to do are rather clear. And if you'll read your Bible, you got to agree with me. We know what God wants, don't we? We know the leading of God in the Word of God. It's very clear. You live in a time, which is a luxurious time, when we have a completed copy, pure, preserved, inspired copy of the Word of God in our language. A lot of folks don't believe that, and that's because the devil has persuaded them to buy into a lie. But I'm telling you, when you stand before the Lord, you will not have to apologize for believing that you had a good copy of the Word of God. And it's clear. There are things in here that are not necessarily easy or convenient, but we can see the leadership of God, can we not? I would contend that on any given day, the thing that we ought to do is open our Bible and see how God is leading us and then go that way. And I tend to pick the easy things. They just come to my mind. You know, faithfulness in church attendance or abstaining from sin or you know, those kinds of things. But there are little tiny details in the Word of God that are there to lead you, and they're clear. Now, here's another interesting thought right here in verse 21. Look at this. It says, he led them by the way. It says, let me read it again. He went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. And so when it was bright and sunny out and you could see where you were going and the traveling is easy in the daytime when you're walking along on the path, you can see the obstacles and you can step over them because the sun's shining and you can see what's in the way. And that's, you need to know where to go, but you can see the path. And so it's a daytime journey. And that's when we like to drive. That's when we like to hike or whatever, because you can see where you're going. And God will lead you when the path seems obvious. But what about nighttime, when the path doesn't seem so obvious? Have you ever had some times in your life when you didn't see the path? I got to tell you this story, just all these Army stories popping into my mind. We used to live in South Texas, and I was in the National Guard, and we would go to a place called Hebronville. And we'd go there for training on weekends. And we would patrol, which is hiking at night. Well, the trouble is, in Hebronville, there are cactus everywhere. And when you're in the Army and you're hiking at night, you're patrolling, you don't have a flashlight. Nobody has a flashlight. There's somebody up front with pretty good eyes, and the person up front is picking the path. And so they're doing what they can to see. They might be using the moonlight. They might just have good vision or whatever. But you put a guy out, it's called a point man, and he's in the front. And he's going to go around the obstacles. He's going to step over the logs. He's going to go around the ditches or the pits or the mud puddles and so on. Everybody else in that patrol, the other 9 or 10 guys, all they can do, we used to wear a soft cap. On the back of that cap, we had, you've probably seen a picture of this somewhere, we had two little glow-in-the-dark strips about that long on the back of that cap. And when it was dark, the guy in the front, you couldn't see anything except those two strips. And if they went down, you knew, oh, he stepped in a hole. If they went that way, you know he went around something. And all you could do was follow him and trust him not to get you in trouble. And sure enough, one night we had this fellow that was kind of new in our group. And we're walking along, and all of a sudden I hear, ow, 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 and he's walked into a cactus. And I mean, he walked into a cactus. And if you knew this guy, you'd laugh more because he was always getting in trouble. And the question is, were you following, or were you paying attention, or did you just go the way you wanted to go? Folks, God can lead us by night. Say, Pastor, I cannot see where to go. Folks, God has perfect night vision, amen? But it's better than that. Look what he did. He led them with, look at the words here in verse 21. He led them by night in a pillar of fire. Now, once again, if there's a pillar, I'd like to have seen that, wouldn't you? I don't know how tall it was. I'm thinking it was pretty big. I don't think it was 10 feet. I think it was 100 feet. Maybe it was 1,000 feet. This enormous pillar of fire. Everybody could see it. And what did it do? It didn't just show them where to go. It would shine light on their path. Oh, I know a verse. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Young person says, I know how I'm going to live my life. I got my goals. I know what I enjoy. I've got my plans. My question is, are you walking in the dark, or has God shed light on your path? Say, oh, don't worry. I don't need that. I don't need that Bible. I can find my own way. You're going to walk into a cactus. And when you do, you're going to yell out. And you're going to be calling the pastor saying, Pastor, help, I walked into a cactus. And we've been pulling thorns out of you. Why? Because you didn't have light for your path. God can lead us by night. Amen? It's a clear leadership. By day, he shows us where to go. By night, he gives us light for our way. And then I'm just about done. We're almost out of time. Look at the last verse there. Oh, I like this verse. You ought to enjoy this verse. Verse 22. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. The leading of the Lord is considerate. He knows what you can handle and what you can't, and he takes you the way that is best for you. The leading of the Lord is conclusive. He's got a destination, and he'll get you there, and he's going to do it in his time, which is the best time and the right time. And it may not seem like it's happening to you, but you need to wait until God gets you there. The leading of the Lord is clear. It is clear in two ways. It's easy to see, and it's easy to see by. In other words, it's easy to tell God is leading you. You read your Bible, and it's easy to see what's around you and avoid the pitfalls of life. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, the Bible says. So don't marry a lost person. If you do, you're going to wind up in a cactus. Don't do the things that God says not to do. He's warned you. The light is shining. There is where we should go. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And this is not the way to go. We'll go there. You're going to get in trouble. It's clear. He shows you where to go, and it's easy to see what he wants. And then finally, it is continuous. Folks, God will not leave you or forsake you. Say, Pastor, I've sinned. Listen to this. These people, one thing after another. I mean, the golden calf. the murmuring, the doubting God, the not believing he would put them in the promised land. In spite of all that, there were a couple of things God did anyway. He continually led them and he continually provided for them. Now, I'm not encouraging you to try God's patience and live an ungodly life and see what he does. There's consequences for sin, but I want you to know something. God's right there to lead you if you'll just let him. Now, I got to ask this question. You need to ask this question. Where would God like to lead me right now? Which direction has God taken me? You know what these people did. Time and time and time again, they said, this is too hard, let's go back. And then the other thing they said, which is an insult to God and Moses, is God brought us out here to die. Folks, God did not bring you here to die, to fail, to go under. If you die, it won't be God's fault. And I use that metaphorically. If you fail or if you get yourself in trouble, God could have protected you from that. I'm not saying you won't have hardships. I'm not saying you won't have some hard times. But I have had the very sad responsibility of looking some people in the eye and telling them, what you are about to do is completely contrary to what God said to do. And I can faces pop into my mind, just one after another. And I can see them and hear them saying, I'm going to do it anyway. And it breaks my heart. The more I think about it, the more faces pop into my mind. A man named Mark that left his family because he wanted to marry somebody else. It just goes on and on and on. And they think, that pastor, in fact, one man told me, the fool, he said, the Bible doesn't have the answer to my problems. Well, I got news for you. The devil and the world don't either, and the Bible does. And I can just tell you, when you turn your back on God's leading, again, just the illustration, you're going to find yourself in the cactus. You're going to find yourself in the ditch. You're going to find yourself in the mud puddle. You're going to find yourself falling off the cliff. Too many stories about people that rejected leading and suffered because of it. But what is God leading us to do right now? You see, here's the contrast. When you follow God's leading, wow, great things happen. Amen? God is going to do some great things if you'll just follow him. Say, Pastor, it seems hard. It's not nearly so hard as a cactus. It's not nearly so hard as wasting your life. It's not nearly so hard as walking around the wilderness for 40 years and dying because you didn't trust God to deliver the land into your hand. The leading of God is the most, I hate to say most, but it is got to be one of the very most important things in our Christian life. So if I was the devil, I would try to do two things to you. Number one, I'd want to get your eyes off of God's leadership. I'd have a good corrupt Bible out there. I'd get you out of the Bible, period. You just wouldn't even be in the Bible because that's going to lead you. I'd get you away from the leadership of God. And then I would get your attention on something else. Look at that fruit in that tree. Isn't that a good-looking piece of fruit? Yeah, but God said don't eat it. No, you don't understand. That is fruit that will make you wise. That is going to taste better than anything you have ever eaten in your life. And God really wasn't honest with you, it's not going to cause you to die. It's going to make you to be like God. Well, you know the end of the story, right? All they had to do is follow God's leadership. Same thing for us, amen? God wants to lead us, wants to lead you. Where's he leading you right now? God says to you, he says, you know, you need to take this next step of obedience. You need to do the next thing. Increase your faithfulness. I hate to paint all the pictures and just, I don't want to answer your questions for you. You know what God's leading you to do. Follow him, amen? And again, I'll tell you this. God's not leading you away from his church, away from his work, away from holiness. He's not leading you away. That's the devil doing that. God's going to lead you forward as part of your church and as a person that is involved and growing and learning. You got to decide who you're going to follow, amen? Let's all stand and pray.